my printer wouldn't print. And I went to buy some ink, and the ink was so expensive. It was like $100 for two little cartridges. So I thought, oh, nah, I'll keep my $100 in my pocket. Hey, it's... Hey. Oh, Sunday school. Sorry. I didn't read the signals. Sunday school's on, and it looks like all the kids are gone. That's good. Hey, welcome to church. I'm glad you're here. You've come here because your life's a mess. Your life's a struggle every day. Every day you're battling inside because the Spirit of God wants you and the Spirit of the world wants you. And the world is a very dark and foreboding place. Oh, it looks all right. Lights are on. But we live in a world that is in opposition to God. And God has found you. Wherever you've been, God has found you and He's brought you to Himself. And you're happy, aren't you? But some days aren't so happy. Some days are not happy at all. And that is because we are in a continuing cosmic conflict. A continuing cosmic conflict. It's bigger than us. How did you like the book of Job? How would you like to be the only righteous man upon the whole earth? How could he do that? How could he be the only righteous man upon the whole earth? Because he had God. And I don't know if you believe in Satan, but please do. Please trust that there is such a person as Satan who is alive. Always alive. It's funny, isn't it? It seemed like God and Satan were having a bet. I'll bet you my son Job. I'll bet you he doesn't. I'll bet you he does. I'll bet you he doesn't. Oh, okay. Well, you heard the story as Raymond read it. And this is because sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden. Our biggest problem is the littlest word, sin. It's affected everything. Man's choice of himself over God brought suffering and death forever. But you know what? And you'll hear this from me a lot. God loves being God. He loves it. The world thinks it brings a challenge to God. The world thinks it's going to win. And Psalm 2 tells us, why do the nations rage? The Lord laughs. Creation knows God. The sun and the moon and the stars, the clouds, the winds, the storms, the lightning, they move at His desire and purpose. The oceans and seas obey His commands. The fish and the birds know their Creator. Trees of the forest, grass of the field grow and wither at His command. Even the unseen spirit realm goes only as far as God, their Creator, allows them. Angels and demons who hate God still obey Him. This is going to be a hard theology for you, but we can say that without a doubt, Satan is God's devil. Did you get that? Satan is God's devil. His hatred for God and man is known and revealed in Scripture. He is a liar. He is a thief. He is a destroyer. Yet he can only go as far as God allows him. We are given understanding of this in the book of Job. Our God is sovereign. He is wise. He is purposeful. Hirumi, our mountain has been moved. We have to sometimes come up against mountains because God is wanting us to call on Him to move the mountain. Everything in creation obeys God except one thing. Man made in the image of God. Everything obeys God except us. We have been given, amazing enough, free choice. Nothing else in creation has this. God in His wisdom and purposes has allowed us the freedom to choose Him or to reject Him, to obey Him or to disobey Him. But for every wrong choice that we make, God has indicated that there are consequences. Adam and Eve chose to not listen to God, which God knew they would do. They chose rather to listen to the serpent Satan, and the rest is what we call history. But this is still God's world. God's desire is that we should love Him and dwell with Him forever. That's why you're at church. That's why you're here. How imperfect your life is, it doesn't matter. You've come here to meet with the living God, and He wants to meet with you today. He wants to remind you of who He is and what He does. There will be a new creation. That's what you and I are waiting for. A new place with heaven and earth. I take an old folks service every Friday, and it's just wonderful. It's probably my highlight of the week, is just going to an old folks home and just all of these older folks sitting around, every kind of nationality, and we sing those old songs. Jesus loves me, this I know. God is so good, He took my sin, now I am free. They're waiting. They can't go anywhere. They have breakfast, lunch, and tea in the old folks' home. They have people come in and entertain them. But I go in there with the truth of the love of God. I can only tell them about it. I can't push it into their hearts. But because I go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell them these things. I can tell them that there is a mansion that has many rooms that God has prepared for those who love Him. And there's a song we sing after that, and it's... Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, 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 joy. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, To my Father's house, Jesus is the way. To my Father's house, where there's joy, 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 joy. That's what you want to hear, don't you? When your house every day is a room with a bed, and you have just communal dining room, you want to know that there's more, don't you? Well, I'll tell you what. God's new creation is going to be 10 times, 20 times, 30 times far superior than the world we're living in now. You live in this world because God wants you to live in this world. It's not a mistake. You live in this world because God wants you to have trouble. It's not a mistake. In your trouble, He wants you to trust Him. Basically, every Sunday, Lenny and I come and preach to you, or whoever preaches to you, all we're saying to you every Sunday is, you, Alex, you can trust God. Even in the darkest moments of your life. Luke 8, 26 to 39. Jesus travels across the Lake of Galilee on a journey in which a great storm arises on the lake. The disciples fear that this is their last day on earth. Jesus is sleeping. Master, Master, Jesus awakes from his very deep sleep. He must have been very tired. Sometimes I wonder, was he really sleeping? I wonder sometimes maybe he was just having a pretend sleep, waiting for them to get really, really worried, and then he'll wake up. But no, I don't think so. I think he was very, very, very tired. And he stands up and he commands, peace be still. Order is restored out of chaos. Death is abated till another day. But a far greater chaos is about to drive fear into the disciples again. Upon arriving at the shore, Jesus steps out of the boat and onto the land, and a mad man runs at him, hurtling towards Jesus. This crazed man is so full of demons, so full of the kingdom of Satan, that all he wants to do is battle with Jesus. All the demons want to battle with Jesus until they actually confront him. This man thinks he can drive fear into Jesus by acting tough, threatening to take Jesus out. A legion of demons versus a single man. But as he draws closer to Jesus, Jesus exerts full authority. And he speaks the demon into submission. Whereupon the demon-possessed man falls right at the feet of Jesus and begs for mercy. It's ironic that the demons who had taunted and tormented this poor man for so long should now ask Jesus not to torment them. We have no idea how this man came to be so demon-possessed. The Bible tells us that he lived in a house in a city. For some reason, he left there and came to live in the tombs of the dead. And I think it just got worse and worse. He wandered the mountains day and night, naked, shrieking and screaming, causing pain to himself and living in the agony of demon possession. He would cut himself with stones. not even knowing what he was doing or why. Simply driven on by a life that was stronger than his demonic life. If you want to know what hell looks like, look at this man. If you want a picture of what it's like in hell, it's right here, staring us in the face in the demonic man. Torment and pain is the promise of the abyss. The pit of hell, which is reserved for Satan and his demons and all who reject the love, kindness, and mercy of God in Jesus Christ. In the pit, you will have no control of your life. You will live in unceasing agony at the mercy of the wicked spirits around you. You will be a plaything for evil. And you will know and feel everything. In this passage, Jesus speaks mostly to the demons. What's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. The number and power of these demons is massive. We realize how many by the number of pigs that they destroy. Legion continues to talk and plead with Jesus. We see the peace of Christ reigning. Wherever Jesus goes, whenever he's confronted by wickedness, wicked men or wicked demons, Jesus is never taxed, never pushed out of his position as God, always the one in control. Whereas the demons are a restless evil, not content until they kill or destroy. The demons plead with Jesus, Jesus, and they say this, Son of the Most High God. Isn't it interesting that the spirit world should know who Jesus is, and yet we on earth should not? They beg Jesus for release. Jesus, kind of like this, would you be so kind as to cast us into the pigs? And Jesus allows them. He gives them permission. He says, go. And 2,000 pigs are filled with demons and run headlong into the lake. Jesus, for 5 long verses, has been dealing and talking backwards and forth with the demons. There's actually only another 8 verses left in the whole story. There are some onlookers here who have been watching the whole proceeding. That's the herdsman for the pigs. I'd say that this pig's herd was a business collective. The city people relied on their pigs to run their economy. Healthy pigs, I'll bet. Lovely free-range pigs, big and beautiful. Who likes pork? I love pork. My brother-in-law's got a pork farm. He raises pigs and he sells off. He runs out of pigs. He can't keep up enough pigs. But he says, you know, out of a pig you can get 2 litters a year. Sometimes the litters have as many as 12, and even more. So that's every year, 24 piglets being born to one pig. That's pretty good economy, man. And of course, he gets all his food. He goes to all of these factories that have all leftover food, you know, food chucked out. He just picks up trucks load of it. He doesn't even have to pay for pig feed. It's a win-win. This pig place is a business collective. Big business. Big business. But they have a problem. They've got this man living in the midst of them. He's just a nuisance. You know what it's like to have... Have you ever been in a place where you know who the local nuisance is? In order to do it, my brother used to be the biggest nuisance. My brother was the alcoholic. He was older than me, quite a bit older than me, but he had a reputation, because every time he went to the pub, my brother would come to you and he'd go, "Hey, you got a spare couple of dollars, bro?" And you know, he'd just keep, because all he wanted to do was, "I love my brother, I miss my brother. I look at him and I see the kindness of the Lord. The kindness and mercy of the Lord to give him life." But see, this demon-possessed man was a nuisance, just a blot on this wonderful city and its businesses and its families. You see, they were good people. This guy was a stench in their nostrils. So what they decided to do was they'll go to him and they'll chain him up and shackle him just to try and subdue him, but he got stronger and stronger. Another demon, another demon, another demon, another demon. Stronger, stronger, stronger. Break the shackles, break the chains. And he'd wail. Night and day he'd wail, screaming. Screaming in the mountains, screaming. I reckon they would have killed him if they could have. I reckon the townspeople would have thought it right that they should end his life. What sort of life is that to live? Maybe we're better off killing him. You know, I bet they tried to. What quality of life has he got, eh? Better off dead, aren't you? Nobody realized that this man was a child of God. Nobody realized that this demon-possessed man belonged to God. He was a child of the kingdom of heaven. He was a sheep of the flock of the good shepherd. He's a discard of society. He's a train wreck. He's of no worth or value to anybody. God sees differently, doesn't he? I wonder how many of you were once train wrecks. I bet a few of you. Discards. Or maybe society didn't look at you as a discard, but I bet you looked at yourself as a discard, eh? You know, when you're Māori, you're brought up to think that you're second class. It's not openly pushed, but for some reason you always realize, gee, I'm not as good as everybody else. And you got to wear it. You wear it every day. Sometimes you even believe it. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Heaven's different. Heaven is not like this world. God is not like men. This discard belongs to God. He is a beloved son of the Most High God. Word gets to the city. They come out in droves to see what's happened. They've heard it. They don't believe it. They want to see it for their own eyes. And they can't believe it when they see it. They all come and they see this man, and the Bible tells us, and probably these are the most wonderful things in this whole passage of Scripture. They see the man seated. Seated. Not roaming around, not screaming, not tormented. They see a man seated. And then it says, he's seated, he's clothed. He was naked, now he's clothed. And he's seated at the feet of Jesus. And he's, the last thing is, he's what? He's in his right mind. Probably the most beautiful picture in Scripture. I wish I was an artist. I'd love to paint that picture of a demon-possessed man on the one side, and all of a sudden, the same man sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's like that picture of Mary, isn't it? Mary and Martha. Jesus goes to their home and Martha's busy, busy, busy. And Mary's seated at the feet of Jesus. Martha gets mad. Jesus, you tell her. She's blooming useless. Get her up. No, Martha. No, no. See her whole life, her whole... Martha was needing rest. I mean, Mary was needing rest, and she knew it. And she'd found the one in whom she could find rest. You and I need rest sometimes, don't we? Busy, busy, busy. Run, run, run. Even when we sit down and try and take rest, our minds stop. They don't stop running, do they? Our minds just keep running and running and running and running. These townsfolk come out and they see him, he's clothed, and they don't believe it. And he's sitting there, not running, sitting at the feet of Jesus, looking into the face of his Savior, filled with new life by the Spirit of God, the child of the living God. A sheep of the flock of Jesus. I bet he wished he and Jesus could just sit there forever together. But Jesus is on a time-limited mission. The restored man wants to go with Jesus. He wants to be where Jesus is. But Jesus has a much better plan for him. He says... Bro? Well, he didn't say bro. You go back to your home. Back to the city. And you tell them. And you just tell them about how God has poured out his love, his mercy, and his kindness upon you. You got a testimony to tell, my bro. There's a lot of people who are going to hear it and marvel. Tell them what it's like to come from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Tell them what it's like to have no mercy and now to find eternal mercy. Tell all who will hear. And bro, you don't need to be with me because I'll be with you. That's what it is for us, isn't it? Every day we go, Jesus is with us. Whether we're up, whether we're down, happy, sad, crazy, not crazy. He's always with us. Why? Because he loves us. You see, in this one story, we have the whole story of the cosmic battle. It's cosmic. It's bigger than us. It's God. It's Satan wrestling for the hearts and minds of people. It's getting worse. God's kind of taken his hand off the world and said, Satan, go. Satan's running around now. You and I having to deal with stuff we've never, ever believed we'd have to deal with. Never. Satan is running rampant. The last part of this I want to tell you is about this community, pretty much like all people in the world. Go away from us, they say to Jesus. Go away, get out of our country. We don't understand and we don't want to understand. We like our lives just the way we are, thank you. What does Jesus do? Gets back in the boat. He went all that way for one man. If he went all that one way for man, one man, wouldn't he same for you? Nothing you can do can separate yourself from the Lord. When you become a Christian, it's going to get harder. You think, we all think that it's got to get better. No, it gets harder. The trials get stronger. The temptation never ceases because God is always wanting to reveal our true self so that we can just cry out to Him. Just every day, just cry. Some days we think we do really good, but every day we have to rely. We have to be weak so in Jesus we can be strong. I play golf with these old fellows. They're all 70s and 80s. Not Christian. One of them says he's a Christian, but I know he's not. But because he says that, I feel I can talk to him about the Lord. He's got a daughter who's an alcoholic. Been an alcoholic now. I know what it's like to be an alcoholic. I used to be an alcoholic, but got delivered from that by the Lord. But I said to him, bro, and she's always struggling. I said, bro, pray for your daughter. You can pray to the Lord for your daughter. You think He won't hear you? Pray for your daughter. Ask the Lord to help her. The other fellow, they're rich fellows, eh? I said to them, do you think, there's such a place as heaven? Do you think you'll go there? Well, they won't answer me. But they're rich, you see. I know I guess it's just me looking at them, but in matter of fact, they're pretty wealthy. And I know they're wealthy. But I love to spend time with them just to remind them of the things of God. You see, the reality is, like these people, we have the choice to reject God. In reality, we are all in a way tormented. Not to the point of demon possession, but to the extent that every day we battle internally. We are jars of clay holding eternal treasure. 2 Corinthians 4, 6-12 says this. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. Poor in spirit. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. It may feel like it sometimes. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down. But not destroyed. always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Verse 11. For we who live, that's you, that's me, that's you, that's me, are always being given over to death. That's why we live in this world. For Jesus' sake. Not for nothing. For Jesus. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Useless. Look at me. Fat boogoo. Broken teeth. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Psalm 30, 1-5. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'll pray, and I think, Nathan, you're bringing some messages. So I'll just pray, and then after Nathan, I'll give the benediction. Father, you are Lord. You love being God. You are our God. We thank you that you have a plan for us. So we ask that you would continue to remind us that we are given over to death every day for the work of the life of Christ in us. It's hard, Lord. It's hard sometimes, and sometimes I want to give up and run away, but I can't because I have nowhere to run to. And so, Father, please bless, guide your people. Help us to cast all our cares upon you, for you love us. Amen.